All right, in Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to start reading there in verse 1, Hebrews 12, 1. The writer of Hebrews says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Now notice what he says. "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So I want to talk to you this morning about the cross of Christ. And here in the book of Hebrews, it mentions the cross, and it talks about Jesus' attitude toward the cross. And what is said here is really very important, because it shows us that the cross was in no way some type of cakewalk or insignificant activity as far as the Lord was concerned. As a matter of fact, when we read the book of Matthew 26, we find Christ praying there in the garden, and he prays, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus Christ went to that cross 2,000 years ago, and the Bible said God made him to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when he died on that cross, the sin of the world was placed upon him, and he died for our sins so that we could have eternal life. The Bible says, where we just read, "Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." What was the shame of the cross? The cross was a means of execution that was reserved for criminals in the day of Christ. And it was one of the most cruel punishments that was used in order to execute people. You remember that Christ, on the day that he was executed, there were two that were released. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ himself went there to that cross and died for our sins. Now I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul has to say. By the way, back in Hebrews chapter 5, before we look at the other verses from Paul, in Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 8, the Bible says, "Though he were a son," speaking of Jesus Christ, "yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." The Lord Jesus Christ stepped down from heaven's glory, became a man, and the Bible said he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Back in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says there in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man," now notice what he says, "he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You see, it would have been one thing for him to die, but it was far more significant that he died upon that cross as, in the eyes of the people, a criminal. One that deserved to die in their mind, and yet he was without sin. The Bible says right here, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the foundational truth of all Christianity, all that believe, is the truth of the cross. Then I know that there are those that would like to destroy or blind people's eyes from the preaching of the cross, because it is at the cross, and as has been said by so many people, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. So God Almighty, by His grace, saves people today on the basis of what was accomplished at the cross. Notice over in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul speaks there about what took place at the cross in relation to those who first trusted in Christ, those who later trusted in Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, how? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You see, when God Almighty let his Son go there to the cross, the truth was that was revealed to the Apostle Paul was that when Christ died on that cross, no longer was salvation of the Jew, as in John chapter 4. No longer did a person have to come through Israel to be saved. How is today the person can be saved? By trusting in what Christ did on that cross. He became our sacrifice. And in that death, he says, he hath reconciled both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. You see, today, the issue is not what religion a person is, what denomination they are. All people are saved the same way, and that is by trusting in what was accomplished there at the cross. We were reconciled by the cross. In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul there speaks of us being made of the peace that was made there in Colossians 1 in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, that is in Christ, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. On that cross, not only did Jesus Christ die, but he shed his blood. Acts chapter 20, the Bible says that God Almighty purchased the church with his own blood. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and Jesus Christ had the very blood of God flowing through his veins. And the Bible says right here in Colossians 1:20 that he made peace through the blood of his cross. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the Old Testament sacrifices typified the coming of Jesus Christ. But as far as Israel was concerned, they believed that Jesus Christ simply came unto them and that salvation was going to go out into all the world by the Jewish nation. And all of that came to a halt when they rejected the ministry of the 12 in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And when Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, he was given the revelation of the mystery and he was given information by the cross that had never previously been made known. But it is made known today by the preaching of the gospel. He made peace, the Bible says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, we are reconciled by the cross. We're at peace with God by the cross. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And not only that, look in first in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now you need to stop and think about something. The Apostle Paul said that the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. The law could never save anybody. The law, and Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he said the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Listen, in the dispensation of the grace of God, in the age of grace that we're living, the only lawful use of the law, the only beneficial use of the law is to show men their sinners. And you can do that by the law. Because, I mean, you go down through there and you people look at that and say, well, I've never committed adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. But then it says, thou shalt not covet. You see, I don't care how self-righteous a person may be or an individual may be, when it comes to the law, we're all guilty. And so when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, There was something supernatural that took place in his death, in that God placed the sin of mankind upon him, and he died for the sins of the entire world. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. Well, how could that be? Well, Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us something very significant that took place there at the cross. You see, the law always condemned. And so not only did he pay for our sins, but at the cross, the very instrument that God could use to condemn us as sinners was taken out of the way. It was nailed to the cross. He said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. What did he do? Nailing it to the cross. That's how God was able to make peace. That's how God was able to reconcile the world unto himself. He doesn't look at us through the law. He looks at the world today on the basis of his grace. And that grace is manifested through the preaching of the cross. So there is the reconciliation that took place at the cross. There's the peace made between God and man at the cross. The law is taken out of the way. And because of that, it is the only means whereby a person can enter into the body of Christ and live eternally with God Almighty. In the dispensation of grace, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, he identifies what that gospel is. He said how that Christ died for our sins. Where did he die? On the cross. He was buried. And he was raised again the third day. And Romans 4:25 says he was raised again for our justification. Now, because the message of the cross is the only message that will bring salvation today, that message always has been and always will be under attack by mankind. I want you to notice man's attitude toward the cross that Paul mentions back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 18, Paul says there, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You see, those that do not believe the gospel, folks, it's just a foolish doctrine that a man would go to a cross and God would accept that sacrifice as payment for our sin. What does man want to believe? He wants to believe that somehow he's got to do something. He wants to believe that somehow what he does is significant enough for God to welcome him into the family. But that's not the case. The case is the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But notice what he says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God, Paul said, unto salvation. Now, back up in verse 17. The Apostle Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Well, then it would be possible, think about it would be possible to preach Christ and make the cross of none effect. I mean, all people in so-called Christianity talk about the life of Christ. What would Jesus do? They even talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But there are very few people in the world today, comparatively speaking. There's a lot of saved people, but comparatively speaking to the population, there are very few people today that believe that what Christ did at the cross was all sufficient. What most people believe in the religion is that Christ did his part, then you've got to do your part. And they end up preaching a works salvation. Several weeks back, Mary and I were watching a program on PBS. It was a two-night or two-part special on the Amish. And the second part dealt with the shunning practice of the Amish religion. The Amish, when their children deny the Amish religion, they shun them and have nothing to do with them. They're castaways. And because family life is so strong in the Amish family, it is very difficult for those children. They interviewed some that had left the religion, and they sat there and wept because how much they missed their families. One man in particular, he had left 6 times and gone back every time because he could not exist, he said, without the fellowship of the family unit that was there. Had 10 or 12 children in the family. Next to the last time, before the last time he went back, he was out and met a man, and the man witnessed to him, and this Amish man got saved. Gave a wonderful testimony about seeing that Christ died on the cross for his sins and that all the works that they had told him he had to do were of no value whatsoever. Still, after being saved, he missed his family so much that he said, "What I'll do is I will go back into my family and practice their religion because I'm saved and sealed and nothing can affect that." And so that's what he did. And so the person that was interviewing him said, "Well, did you remain?" He said, "No, I did not." He said, "Because the religious practices that I found myself involved in was hiding the truth of the cross." Think about that. Here's a saved man, and yet to his family, who he tried to witness to, they saw that he was involved in the same religious practices they were involved in, and he said he could not present Christ to them because of the religion. You know what, folks? There are people listening to my voice right now on radio, or will be listening to this message on radio, that they believe the grace doctrine, but they're a part of a system that in many ways denies the truth of the cross. The Apostle Paul said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." I'm so thankful for people that are willing to come out of a religion and stand for the truth of making known the cross at all cost. Why? Because Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." And a preacher always has to be very careful not to add anything to the work of the cross that was accomplished there by our Lord Jesus Christ. So man's attitude toward the cross is of none effect to some people. It's foolishness, and it's also offensive. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul speaks there about the cross being offensive. At Galatia, Paul had preached the cross. He had preached the message of the cross. And there were those at Galatia that had believed, and somebody came in behind Paul and said, "Except you be circumcised, you can't be saved." And so in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now notice what he says down there in verse 7. "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren," now notice what he says, "if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." You see, the reason that people compromise the truth of the cross is because preaching the cross is offensive. But if you preach the cross and then say, tell somebody, "Now, if you want to be saved, you need to be baptized. You need to join the church. You need to repent of your sins. You need to turn from your sins. You need to confess your sins. Any number of things. What has that just done? That has softened the offensiveness of the cross. You see, why is the cross offensive? Because the cross says that man has no part in his salvation other than believing and trusting in what Christ did. When they were practicing circumcision, they were in effect saying, listen, if I'm circumcised a fleshly work, then I can be saved by grace. Well, we see that duplicated in religion today. Anytime anybody adds anything to the message of grace, they do it in order that the cross will no longer be offensive. And again, that's not something a saved person ought to be a part of. So the cross is offensive. Notice in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We read throughout Paul's epistles about the tremendous suffering and persecution that he faced on a regular basis. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was kicked out of one town after another. He was put in prison. He was put in bonds. He was put in chains. And we find out why. Notice in Galatians chapter 6, verse 12, he said, as many as desire to make a fair show. That phrase, fair show, would be like a public display. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You see, there it is again, the offensiveness of the cross. Those preaching the cross, those that were preaching the cross, they were persecuted. And they were persecuted because they did away with all the physical rights. And so what Paul says there, as many as desire to make a fair show, a public display in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. I believe with all of my heart that that is one of the reasons that so many people have hung on to water baptism with that death grip. Because, you see, if somebody asks you, how many people have been added to your church? How many decisions have you made? I used to get that all the time when I would go preach at a church. Somebody, well, how many decisions did you have? I finally told them, I said, well, we had, one night I went to a little church, there was 25 people there, and I came back from preaching. They said, how many decisions did you have? I said, 25. They said, really? I said, yeah, everybody decided not to do anything. But you see, if you get people to walk down an aisle and vote them into your church and baptize them, you can count them. We used to send a report every month to the state association of not how many people were saved, but how many people were baptized. Our church in Birmingham, Alabama, led the state in baptisms. No, I have no doubt how many of those people were saved, but my estimation is very few. When my wife approached the pastor and talked to him about being concerned that she was not saved, he said, what you need to do is be rebaptized. You see, a work of the flesh. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross. And all these physical works that have been added many times are done so that they can glory in the flesh of individuals. That's what he says. As many as desire to make a fair show, a public display in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now notice what he says in verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. And notice the next two words, but God forbid. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to ask you today, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you die, when you depart this life, you're going to spend eternity with the Lord? You can. And it's not by joining a church. It's not by being baptized, by taking of the Lord's Supper, by repeating a prayer, by asking Jesus into your heart, or committing your life to the Lord. It's simply by trusting in the fact that when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, he became your sin. And God placed all of your sin upon him. And when that blood sacrifice was offered, in effect, God said he was satisfied with that. And because he was satisfied with that, 3 days later, he raised up his son from the dead. And he was raised again for our justification. You see, folks, you don't want to ever do anything to destroy the preaching of the cross, to diminish the preaching of the cross. One other passage over in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Hard to believe that there would be people that would be enemies of the cross. And yet anybody that puts any stock in our ability to somehow do something in our flesh to appease God is an enemy of the cross, because they're denying the truth of the cross. You don't want to be an enemy of the cross. You want to stand for and preach the cross. Now those 10 verses that we've looked at this morning are the sum of Paul's usage of the word cross. And it's the most important doctrine that you'll ever find in your Bible. For it was by the cross that we were justified. God made peace with us, and he reconciled the world unto himself by the death of his Son on the cross. If you've never trusted him, why don't you this very moment trust him as your Savior? You don't have to pray anything, say anything, go anywhere, or do anything. Just trust him. Believe the truth of the cross and receive the free gift of salvation, and he'll save you this very moment.